not keep you too long this morning. I know we sang a lot, but I enjoyed it. Amen. Amen. Stirred my heart. I thank God for good gospel music, the right kind. Amen. Old-fashioned singing stirs me. Amen. Wrong kind grieves me. I'm thankful for the right kind of music. Romans 13, let's begin reading in verse number 11 and read down through 14. And I'm going to give you a general thought this morning. Maybe preach about one point. And if you'll come back tonight, I'll give you point two and point three. Amen. I'm saying one point because I think that's about all. If I can get that, I've done good, Brother Nathan. Verse number 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Father, thank you now for the good day, God, that you've given us. Lord, any day is a good day. We should rejoice and be glad in the days, God, that you've given us. God, it's a good day today because we have the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm here. I've already been blessed. God, I can say that I've already, Lord, felt the presence of God, Lord, in our midst. I'm thankful for the good Sunday school hour of teaching, preaching, God, learning your word. Thankful, God, for Noah, that we can look at him. God, find help in our lives, God, as we've seen his obedience. God, I thank you for that we may also, God, be obediently seen in our faith. God, our desire to do all that you'd have us to do. I thank you for the young people that's come, Lord, this morning. God, I pray that they receive a blessing, God, a good time. Lord, in the super church this morning, God, may the Word of God be passed on to them. May you help them to learn to sing. God, how to worship you and be thankful for what you've done for them. God, would you add your blessing to the red word, God, as we try to preach it now? Would you make preaching easy? Would you bind the devils of hell? God, would you loose the Spirit of God that he may have good liberty to move in our midst? God, may the Holy Ghost that resides in my soul, God, may he fill me. Lord, may you touch me, God, and give me strength physically. Touch my mind, God, that, Lord, that while I may not have the intellect, the intelligence it takes, Lord, to deliver your word, God, may God, your word that is hid in my heart, God, may it come forth. Now, to not hear the voice of a man, but the very voice of God. God, you know hearts. There were some that left here the other night, God, that are lost, that are back. And I pray, dear God, you take the youngest heart. God, one that may be an adult, or Lord, whether it be a teen, adult, or a senior citizen, God, that stand in need of a Savior. I pray, dear God, that the Holy Ghost should be mindful of them. Running by the cross, God, they might catch a glimpse of what Christ did in their stead. Paying the sin debt of the whole world, that God, whosoever would come, could be saved by the good grace of God. Lord, I need you this morning. Pray you're going to touch us. Now we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I'm going to preach, Brother Jason, about 30 minutes this morning, I think. Amen. So y'all will be good listeners for about 30 minutes and we'll go to the house and pick it back up tonight. Amen. I'm interested in these four verses here, but first and foremost, verse number 11 as a text verse. The Bible said in that, knowing the time, that it now is high time. I'm interested in this word, to awake, out of sleep. That phrase, to awake, out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. I've seen of recent days this commercial about with this possum in it. Have y'all seen that? Them youngins are. I'm not sure what the rest of it's about, but there's a possum laying there and it's side and looking out at them, and the boy and the little girl's staring at that possum. And one of the children, I'm not sure which one, says, "Daddy," he's over there grilling, I believe, says, "Daddy, I think it's really dead." And he said, "Just hold on, it's going to be all right." Meaning that that possum wasn't dead, but in fact, it was plain possum. And I mean, its mouth's open, saliva's running out, eyes are fixed. I'm thinking, that possum is dead. But it just lays there, and about the time they give up, and I don't know about you, but the first I've seen it a couple times, and both times I'm still amazed when it gets up. Because I'm thinking that it's dead. Y'all with me? First time I shocked, second time I was really shocked. I couldn't believe I was so stupid. I didn't know it wasn't going to get up. And I'd done seen it get up. In other words, this thing about playing possum is pretty convincing. Amen. I'll talk a little bit about a possum by way of introduction, and then we'll preach, okay? Let me say this thing about playing possum starts, first of all, three things. Number one, by the fear of the animal. It grows afraid. It gets to a place that it thinks that if it continues in what it's doing and continues to perceive that it looks alive, that somehow it's going to be destroyed. That leads me to my second thought. There is the fear of the animal that starts this act of playing possum. But secondly, there is the flight from the adversary. Its desire, first of all, is to be awake and to try to flee from its enemy. You ever seen a possum move? It's not very fast, is it? In fact, it's right slow. I want to plug this in. It'll make more sense later, but I want to say this morning that for those of us that believe, that are saved by the good grace of God, we ourselves oftentimes make adversaries, great adversaries, great enemies out of things that really shouldn't be that great. Amen. I mean, a possum, if it's to see me, would take off and run from me. There's a possum lives down at the end of our driveway. Sure it does. I see him down there all the time. There's a little culvert that runs up underneath the road out there, and there's a little creek. I'm sure it's a dry place as well as a watering place to stay. See it come out many times of the night, maybe try to pick up a little trash or whatever it is trying to feast on. Jeffrey don't like to take the trash out late at night because he said the possum will get me. That possum sees him, its first thought, its first instinct is just to flee from him. It's going to try to get away from him. You and I today as God's children, those saved by the good grace of God, many times we're afraid of three things. Number one, we're afraid of the foe. Amen. Our biggest adversary, the Bible said, your adversary, the devil. Amen. We have a fear of that adversary. We have a fear of our foe, our enemy, that devil. That sometimes he scares us. Amen. Let me say, secondly, we have a fear of the flesh. We're afraid of our own flesh. We're afraid of what our flesh might get us into. Somebody say amen. They say, thirdly, we're afraid, or we have a fear, not only of the foe and of the flesh, but also of the future. How am I going to pay my bills? What happens if the first gets here? Amen. While we're afraid of these things, can I say, just like that possum dare not be afraid of me. Nor should that possum be afraid of Jeffrey as he's rolling that barrel of trash down there. And it flees the very fact, but Brother Roy Hitch said, we're not going to hurt that possum. We have no desire. We're probably just as afraid of it as it is us. Bible does not give us into any direction whatsoever to be afraid of the devil. Amen. We're to be aware of the devil. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Didn't say be scared of him. It said be sober. It means be clear-minded. To be aware and to be alert. Be vigilant. Be ready to take it on. Be ready to fight. No, not to be ready to flee. Often we're running when we shouldn't be running. Amen. Let me give you another scripture. The Bible says in James 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Amen. Hear that? Get that now. Submit yourself therefore to God. Don't start it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right. You can't just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if you submit yourself therefore to God, if we're in a submissive, a subjective order of Christ, if we submit ourselves to Him, then we can resist the devil and he'll run from us. He'll flee from you. Amen. Bible gives no reason for us to be fleeing the foe. Amen. We'll be ready to fight the foe. We should be not scared of our flesh. The spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another, the Bible says. Amen. Let me say it like this, as long as you're feeding yourself with the spiritual things of God, you don't have to be entangled with the things of the flesh. Verse 14 said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God's already given us a way to escape the flesh, and it's by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be in fear of the future. Give no thought for the morrow. We're not to be concerned about raiment. We're not to be concerned about our food. Amen. We're not to be concerned about our bills. Don't get nervous. Well, I'm supposed to, yes, you're supposed to pay your bills. I'm just saying you ain't supposed to be afraid of them. Amen. If you're in God's order, if you're submitted to God, God will take care of you and He'll take care of your bills. Amen. He feeds the sparrows every morning, the Bible says. Every morning. I mean, not some mornings, but He feeds them every morning. He wets the ground with dew every day to make sure the lilies get some water. Amen. The lilies never turn or spin. The sparrow doesn't labor. It doesn't work. But God takes care of His creation. Why in the name of God is the possum always fleeing? Why is the people of God always fleeing when really there's no danger at all? Amen. This act of playing possum starts with the fear of the animal. Can't help it. He's just scared. Goes secondly by the flight from the adversary. Let me say thirdly this morning, it comes from the fainting of the adult. the fainting of the adult. Now, a young possum, doesn't normally play possum. His possum gene hadn't fully developed, let's say. They're more apt to hiss and even growl. And act like a dog instead of a possum. What about that? But now an adult possum, when it gets too afraid and it can't flee, what it'll do then is faint. That looks pretty dead. I want to draw ourselves to our text for just a moment. I want to make sure you understand this. It says in that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. He's speaking to Christians. He's not speaking about salvation of lost people. He's not talking about somebody saved and got lost. He's speaking directly to saved people at this time. That being said, I'm seeing that as the adulthood, not the child. Y'all with me? I'm picturing an adult here. This state that this possum, this playing possum goes into, this state is involuntary. They have no control over this at all. I used to think it was just an act. I got to reading about it. But then I thought they just played possum to pretend like they was dead so nothing would mess with them. But it goes further, man. It's an involuntary act. But what? I'm going somewhere. It seems like they absolutely have no control over it. And it seems like if they could, they'd do something else. For oftentimes, that thing will end that state anywhere from 45 minutes to 4 hours. Whatever it was afraid of walked off in the first 2 minutes. And it continues to lay there in that state. Let me say this. As a young Christian, or a young possum, as a young Christian, when you first got saved, when you first believed, he's saying now it's nearer than when you believed. When you first got saved, you weren't afraid of everything. You'd just hiss at it. You'd bark at it. I mean, when you first got saved, you didn't mind going soul winning. When you first got saved, you'd say, "Preacher, I want to do anything." When you first got saved, if the preacher hit you between the eyes when he was preaching, nailed your hide to the wall, skinned you, you'd say, "Dear God, preacher, I didn't know about that, but now that I know that, I want to change that in my life." You get down on the altar before God and pray and beg the God of glory to forgive you of what you've done wrong and make it right with God, the church, the preacher, and do everything you could to stay in the perfect will of God. Amen. When you get being adult, boy, hit them between the eyes. Nail them to the wall. It's not altar time, but anger time. Amen. They don't, them youngins, you know what they're doing, them young Christians, they're hissing, they're shouting. Headman. Boy, I don't like that, but what headman, preacher, that's good. Headman. Preacher, I didn't know that, but I know it now. Bless the Lord. When adults, they start sulling up. And they slowly but surely begin to fall over. And they reach a state that, why, at first they did not anticipate it, but now it's almost like it's involuntary. They've been that way so long, they can't wake up and get out of it. They're just stuck there playing dead. By the way, he said, since we believe those people are alive, they've been quickened in the Spirit. They were once dead in sin and trespasses, but now have been quickened in the Spirit. They've been given life, and life more abundantly. They've been brought from death unto life, and now they're acting like dead people. They went from acting like saved people when they was young. Hear this! Hallelujah! I don't know if I like that kind of preaching. Man, that's too loud. That's too lively. That's too long. They say, Brother Jason, they say they can roll over on the side by themselves. But after that, their heart slows to about completely stops. Their jaws drop. Saliva runs out, tongue flops. Eyes are fixed. The first step was a voluntary movement. But after that, when they stepped away from what they should be excited about, they look like they're really dead. Amen. Let me say this act of playing possum in this feigning of adults is a state that's involuntary. It's a sleep that's deep. 4 hours, you can't wait. If this thing was playing possum and dead, Brother Roy, I could pick it up. I'd say, shake that thing, man. You can prod it, poke it, do everything you want to. But that sleep's a ding. Nothing phases it. The only thing that makes it comfortable is when it wakes up and it realizes that whatever it was they're afraid of, which they shouldn't be afraid of, is gone. Check this out about a possum. I thought this was kind of interesting. Did you know that a possum has natural anti-venom? I mean, a rattlesnake bite, it won't hurt it. Copperhead. Cottonmouth. Serpent has no control over the possum.
That's good, preacher. Amen. That's good.
Amen. I'm pretty sure it was a serpent in Genesis chapter number 3. The devil is a serpent, right?
Amen.
Revelation 20, he's a dragon.
Amen.
He's still a serpent, the old serpent.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
He don't have any control over us.
Amen.
Amen. But we just want to go to sleep and pretend like, well, when he's gone, I'll get up.
Amen.
Oh! It's a sleep that's deep. It's a state that's involuntary. Let me say this about this. It's a smell of death. In its glands that creates this thing with this possum, it's able to actually secrete a smell from it.
Yes, sir.
Involuntary. It doesn't do this. It does it on its body. It does it on its own. It gives off a smell that the approaching adversary will think it's either decaying, diseased, or dead.
That's right.
Yeah. It smells like death. Yes, you ever got around a Christian that got kind of dead?
Yes,
you know it because they act like it. You know it because they smell like it.
Amen,
hey, man. Nothing about them portrays life.
Amen.
They're down, depressed, discouraged, dead all the time, lost their shout, lost their testimony, lost their joy, lost their service, lost everything it takes and shows to be a witness for God. And they're just sitting around going through the motions, praying possum. Amen. This sleep relates to death's likeness. Sleep, by a scientist, was pinned down on memory's name right now, but it's all right. You just want the thought anyway. You won't remember. It was called the kinsman of death. Sleep is the closest thing that we have while we are alive to being dead. I want to say this morning, I believe that the church is playing possum. I want to say I believe that the majority of the people of the church of the living God are asleep. And I don't mean that they're taking a nap. And I don't mean that they're dead in a spiritual nature, but I want to say as Paul is writing here in a sleep, that's a place where they quit doing, they quit serving, they've lost their joy, they're in a state of apathy, they've lost the sigh that it takes to serve God. I want to say the church this morning is playing possum. It's a sleep that's death likeness. It's a sleep where darkness lingers. Verse number 12 says that the night is far spent, that the day is at hand. It's saying the night should be closing. It should come to an end. And we should have day. Verse 13 said, let us walk honestly as in the day. But while we're playing possum, it just seems that darkness lingers. Amen. Yeah, y'all stay with me. Verse 12, to find the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. But while we're like this, we're just working darkness. You're not helping anybody. You're not helping yourself. You sit in the church and you play dead at church, so you don't get any preaching. Amen. If they sang your favorite song, you might get happy for just a minute. But when your song ends, you end, you go back to sleep. Here comes the preacher. He's going to mount the pulpit. He's going to preach again. He's going to tell me how sorry I am. He's going to tell me everything I've done wrong. Darkness is lingering. It's a sleep that relates to dreaded labor. We're going soul winning on Monday night at 7 o'clock. We're having camp meeting this coming week. We're having revival October 29th through whatever that first week of November is. We're going to work on the church building, men, on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. You ain't dead. But you sure act like you're dead. Amen. Brother Kevin, how long's that? 20? Oh. I ain't got point one yet. Problem is, point one's an hour long. What are we going to do now? They say the old possums hang trees by their tail. The young ones do. Young ones do. Let me find. What's something I can hook on to here? It don't make it. It can hang on right here. The young ones do, but after time, the weight of the adults, they fall. Young ones do. Young ones shout. Young ones swing. The young ones stay busy. They just keep on. Amen. But you know what happens to the young ones? You know, I don't want to get too long into this, but I got 2 minutes, minus 2 minutes probably now. Possums only marsupial in North America. In other words, they have their young and they stay in their pouch, the mother's pouch. For, you know what I'm saying? They're only pregnant just a few days. I mean, like 13 days. That's it. They climb in that pouch and they stay on them teats there for like 75 to 90 days. Yes, sir. But after that 90 days, they ride around on mama's back. Now, most of the time, they'll have anywhere from, I don't know, up to 16 children. And most of them just die in infancy. Yes, sir. Y'all get that?
there's not enough milk, not enough word for everybody. Most of them just died during infancy. But those few, they just ride around on mama's back. When even after they're developed, she says, "Okay, you're weaned now. I'm not gonna nurse you anymore. You're done." It's like mama becomes a bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she rides them around a little while, and she teaches them how to eat, and she teaches them how to hunt, and she teaches them how to be adults. During that time, they can still shout. During that time, they can still swing. But you know what happens when they get off by themselves? They act like mama. They don't swing no more. They don't shout no more. And they don't stay busy anymore. They quit going about shouting. They quit running the bus. Y'all like that, didn't you? I did. Quit hissing or singing. They quit growling, which is shouting. They quit serving, which is being a bus, getting somebody else what they need. Y'all with me? Right here, when they're swinging, I don't know about y'all, but swinging shows joy to me. But when you swing and you're not like you should be, all you do is fall.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid the church is falling. I'll preach more on that tonight. I'm going to look a little bit at Ephesus. I know you went over a few months ago in Sunday school, but I'm going back to Ephesus a little bit tonight. Sir, I'm glad you came. And I hate to be the one to inform you this. I don't know how familiar you are with church and things, but I hate to say this, but that's what most of the church is like.
They
just play impossum.
You're right.
They just fake.
You're right.
I'm not. And there's these people here, these good people, they say, but I'm afraid if we ain't careful, we'll think we've arrived. And we've reached our adulthood. We're all grown up now. We're spiritually knowing everything. And we'll be just like the ones there, the church at Rome. We fell asleep.
Amen.
Not careful. We'll just be playing possum. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Heads are bowed.